All right, let's take our Bibles together this morning to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. Two verses this morning. I doubt I'll get both of them, maybe. Two big verses in the Word of God that are very helpful in feeding our souls if we'll receive them. Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect into every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Would you join me in prayer? Father, we pray that you would help us this day through the Word of God. You would feed our souls as children of God, and that you would point us in the direction that you would have our lives to go to bring glory to your name. We pray, Father, for that one that might be here today without Jesus Christ, that's never been born again, that you would show them, Lord, you desire to be their Savior, you desire to be their shepherd. And I pray, O God, they would see themselves guilty in their sin and come to a merciful Savior and find the wonderful new birth. We pray for that. Lord, may you meet every need this morning. I'm sure there are many needs in many hearts, many families, marriages, children, young people's lives. And Lord, we know that you're more than able, but we pray you'd give us tender hearts that would be willing to receive what you'd have for us in the Spirit of God, that you would work and get the victory in each life. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do today. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Well, several things here. Verse number 20 begins. It says, "Now the God of peace," the God of peace. If you study your Bible and you run across the word peace, usually it will be in the beginning of one of the letters of the Word of God, but it will always follow another word. Most of the time, the Bible, starting from Romans all the way to this book of the Bible, the book of Hebrews, every chapter or every book begins with grace, and then he'll usually say grace and peace. Sometimes he might say grace, mercy, and peace, or some other pattern there, but it's always grace before there's peace. And that is really the truth in life. If you want to have peace in your life, you'll have to find the grace of God, because there is no peace without the God of peace. There is no peace without the grace of God. And we're thankful today that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And so the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but he invites all to come to his grace, to come to his favor. For by grace are you saved. But there'll never be peace unless there is first grace. We live in a world that's looking for peace, but they're not going to find it outside of a person, because the Bible in this verse says, "Now the God of peace." You'll not find peace in a bottle. You'll not find peace in a pill. You'll not find peace with friends or family members or a job or hobbies. The only place to find peace is in God, is in a person. In your Bible, you'll find the Lord Jesus Christ being described, of course, as the Prince of Peace in Isaiah. He's also described in the book of Luke as the Son of Peace. In this book, in the book of Hebrews, the Lord is described as the King of Peace. But however you want to describe him, you can't have peace in your life or your family. And we won't have it in the world without his person. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you." It's a gift. Then he says, "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In other words, the world does offer a sense of peace, but Jesus doesn't give that. He gives a real peace. He gives one that will be with you in the dark hour. He'll be one that'll be with when nobody else is there. He'll give you a lasting peace in your soul. Jesus said, "I want to give that to you." Isn't it sad that a lot of people don't want that? They don't accept that. They don't come to the God of peace for the peace that they need in their life. Jesus also said in the book of John, he said, in me, you might have peace. He said, in the world, you'll have tribulation. He said, be of cheer. I've overcome the world. He said, all you need in your life, you can find it in me. You know, that's the purpose of church, is to try to center our attention on the Lord and focus on Him and know that in Christ we have all that we need. And especially, we find that peace. I get sort of amused this time of year at the Christmas season. You have in, you know, it's on the postcards, and I understand it, but it's on the postcards and Christmas cards and banners and all that, and it says, you know, peace on earth. And they're trying to quote Luke chapter 2, you know, where the angels announce the birth of our Lord to the shepherds. But you know, the Bible didn't say, those angels that night did not say peace on earth. Did you know that? That's really a whole new message, but since we're in the Christmas spirit, amen, let's get Luke chapter 2. I'll just show it to you. He didn't say peace on earth. I could preach all day on that. But, you know, a lot of people say, well, what we need is peace in the Middle East, and what we need is peace with China and Russia and all the hot spots of the world. No, what you need is peace in your heart through God. And until you have that, nothing's going to work. Everything's going to be a mess. Watch this, when the shepherd said in Luke 2, he said in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, Luke 2:13, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and what? On earth peace. You say, well, that's the same thing. No, it's not. Amen. He didn't say peace on earth. No. He said on earth. He's first of all trying to get your attention to geography. He said, everybody, I want you to look down there on earth. Finally, for the first time since Adam disobeyed God, finally, since the curse came into this world, finally, with all the fighting and all the war and all the trouble and all the sin, finally, on earth, there is finally wrapped up in one package, peace. The King of Peace and the Son of Peace and the Prince of Peace and the God of Peace has come down to earth and wrapped himself in a package that you and I can have. Thank God for the God of Peace that makes himself available. And you know what? When that God of Peace is with you, you know what you have? You have peace. And when his abiding presence isn't there, you know what you have? You don't have peace. What we need more than anything, we need God's abiding presence to be with us, because in him we find the peace that we need. Hey guys, everybody's got troubles. I know your set is not like somebody else's set. But I'm telling you, through God, you can find peace in your life. I don't care what the memo read. I don't care what the circumstances have been. I don't care what the past has looked like or what the future may bring. In a person, in the Lord, you can find peace. But if you look at it, if you look for it from any other source, you're going to be disappointed and miserable. Look at Philippians chapter 4. I can't get off this peace this morning. Somebody today needs some peace in their heart. Everybody wants it, but they don't go to the right source to find it. I mean, if I want a good steak, amen, I'm not going to go to Taco Bell, right? I don't care how many commercials they put up on there, they're going to have a steak taco. Amen, if I want a good ribeye or filet or sirloin or New York strip, I'm not going to Taco Bell. And the thing is, if you really want the peace that you need in your life, you got to go to the right place. You got to go to God. Philippians 4 tells us about that peace. We all know the verse, at least we've heard it. He said in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the next verse says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But I want you to drop down and look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the what? The God of peace shall what? Shall be with you. Peace comes from God. And it comes from the fact that God is there. And our hearts and minds are upon Him. And we're in communion with Him. And we're fellowshipping with Him. And then there's the peace that's there. When we wander away from God, or when our minds wander away from God, or our lives wander away from God, we don't have that peace in our lives. And we'll not find it any other place. Our text says, now the God of peace. Peter came one day to a Gentile. His name was Cornelius in chapter 10. And that man didn't know anything about the Bible. He was a centurion of the Italian band. He was a heathen. Never had they really reached out to the in mass to Gentiles in the early church. And Peter didn't even want to go, but an angel of God or a vision of God was sent down, and he was warned and told to go preach to this heathen man. And when he got there, the Cornelius fell down to worship him. He didn't know who God was. He just fell down to the preacher and started to worship. He said, "Don't do that. No. I'm just like you are. I'm a man just like you are." And then Peter began to preach to him. You know what he said? He said he was preaching peace by Jesus Christ. That though you're away from God, though you don't know God, though you have no understanding of the God of the Bible or your responsibility to Him, that I'm coming to you today as a heathen, as a sinner, and I'm preaching peace to you by Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to make peace with you. The Bible says in Ephesians that He is our peace. Because we're strangers and enemies from God before salvation. The Bible said in Romans chapter 5 verse 10, He said, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son." But the word said, "We'll be saved from wrath through Him." In other words, that there is an enmity between God and men. There's not peace there because He's holy and we're sinful and He's angry. Our iniquities and sins have separated us from God. We're all in the same boat. But through Jesus Christ, we can hear the preaching that God wants to make peace with me. But you know what? Every time in a war, when peace is made, somebody's got to surrender. Somebody's got to win. And I'm glad for the day that I came to God by faith and say, "Lord, I surrender. I'm the guilty party. I'm wrong. And through Jesus Christ, I come to You and I desire those conditions of peace in my life." You know what? He shed abroad in my heart peace, and being justified by faith, I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's offered to everyone if they'll come to the right source. It's a gospel of peace. It's a God of peace. Would you go back to our text? He says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus." God is not only your peace. God is the power that you need in your life. He's saying that this peaceful God shook all of heaven and earth and every chain and every bar and brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. He's saying that to let you know He's got plenty of power to give you peace in your life, to give you help in your life, to bring salvation in your life. Whatever you need, you can find at the foot of Jesus. You can find in the God of the Bible, because a God that can bring somebody up from the dead has everything that you need in your life. He's got the power to meet it. You know, this world tries to escape death. Amen. And they shoot up with Botox. Amen. And they take pills and vitamins and supplements, and they do all kind of genetics and all kind of things to try to get away from death. But you know what? I haven't met anybody. Science hadn't come out with a cure for death yet. You know why? They're powerless. Right. You know, you can be as healthy as you want to be. I remember when a preacher told me when Brother Roloff died, he said, "Brother Roloff, he's a healthy man." He said, "Brother Roloff was the healthiest man that ever did die." He died in a plane crash. We're all going to die. And we don't have power to keep ourselves from that event. But aren't you glad we've got a God that can raise the dead? If we've got a God that has the power to raise the dead, what's your problem? What's your need? He's got the power to meet it. We've just got to get to Him. And Lord, I need You to intervene. I need You to... I'm not saved. You're not saved. Lord, I need You to save me. You need a change in your life. Lord, I need Your power to change my life, make me what I ought to be. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus. And then He says, look, that great shepherd of the sheep. Three times in your Bible, it tries to emphasize Christ as your shepherd. And they're in order of His ministry. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus is the shepherd, as the good shepherd died through His blood, as Hebrews chapter 13 talks about there, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He gave His life for you. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody has ever died for you. Nobody, when you were unlovely, when you were His enemy, nobody will ever love you like Jesus. That's why I don't see why people don't want Him. They'll never find love. He is the good shepherd that giveth His life for the sheep. You go past the Gospels into the epistles and you get to Hebrews, and it says that our Lord Jesus is the great shepherd. He was the good shepherd in His death, but He's the great shepherd in that He supplies all my need. That great shepherd of the sheep, He says, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Look at the next verse, verse 21. What's that great shepherd trying to do? Trying to make you what? Perfect in every good work to do His will. That good shepherd is trying to mold you and make something out of our lives. In other words, in the past, He gave His life for me. But in the present, He's ever working in my life to bring me into His perfect will. I'll probably say more about that tonight. He's not just coming to give me peace. Oh, thank God for that. He's coming to work on my life, to make me perfect in every good work to do His will. He's trying to get me into the will, perfect will of God. Because really, really, if you want to find peace, you'll find it in the will of God. We'll not find peace doing what we want to do. No. And so the great shepherd works in my life and works in your life through all sorts of ways to bring me into His will so my life can be all that He wants it to be and more than I could ever dream. He's the great shepherd. But the Bible tells me when you pass Hebrews and you go into the little epistles, you find He says over in 1 Peter chapter 5, He says He's the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd in the past. He gave His life for me. But here in the present, He wants to be my great shepherd and supply all my need and bring me into the will of God. But in the future, He says He's the chief shepherd. And one day the chief shepherd, He says, shall appear. Now Peter said, look, I'm an elder and I know you guys are elders. You've got pastors in your life, he said. But one day the chief shepherd shall appear. And when He shall appear, He shall give a crown of glory. And He said, hey, we got a shepherd to look forward to. He's the chief shepherd. He's the one in charge. He's the one that we all answer to. But what I want to call your attention to is right here in Hebrews. Not the chief shepherd that's coming and not the good shepherd that died for you, but the great shepherd. The great shepherd. You had a good pastor for 22 years. His job, the word pastor, he's a shepherd. He's to lead. He's to feed. And you had a good one. Even if he was my brother. Amen. And if you didn't like him, you won't like me either. Amen. I'm preaching to the choir. I know all of you love him. Our hearts are one. And you had a good shepherd. You had a shepherd that loved you, right? Amen. Prayed for you. Yeah. Was interested in your family. Yes, sir. Tried to always be there for you. Tried to be faithful to God. Amen. And help you and help this church, and he did. Amen. But you know what? He wasn't the great shepherd. All along that time, while he was trying to fulfill his role and be a good pastor, be a good leader, be a good example. In the back of all that and in front of all of that is our Lord Jesus, who is the great shepherd, because it doesn't matter who or what leader you have in your life. Without the great shepherd, no need will be met. No circumstance will be worked out. But the great shepherd is always there. I will try my best before God in heaven to feed you, to lead you, to care for you, to pray for you. I want to be a good pastor. God knows that.
Amen.
But you know what? There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. I'm a sinner. And I don't want you to look at a person. I'm wanting you to look at the great shepherd. My job is trying to point you to the big shepherd, the great shepherd. Church has a wonderful, important place in your life, but you have got to find what you need for your heart and your family and your life from the Lord. Amen. And when we meet here, we meet to look at Him, to hear Him, to think about Him, to hear His Word, to do business with Him, to make commitments to Him, because what you've got to have in your life is not a good pastor of 22 years or a hopeful man that wants to help you down the road. But what you need every day of your life is a great shepherd. And if you're born again, he's always there.
Amen.
He's always there. Three chapters in Psalms identify the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Psalm 22 talks about the good shepherd, and it starts, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As the Lord laid down his life for us. Psalm 23. Well, let's go to Psalm 24. Psalm 24, you know what it says? It says, open ye gates and ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. It's talking about the chief shepherd, the future, the coming King of kings and Lord of lords. The chief shepherd, but in the middle. In the middle of Psalm 22, a dying Savior, and Psalm 24, a coming Savior, in the middle is Psalm 23. It's that great shepherd of the sheep. And the testimony that the sheep give is that the Lord is my shepherd. You've got to make it personal. It's not that the Lord is everybody's shepherd. David did not say that. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 13, I'm a part of the fold. I'm a part of the sheep. Through Psalm 22, him laying down his life for me and being crucified, and his hands were pierced and his feet were pierced. Through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, I've become a part of the fold. Through his blood, I'm a sheep, and he's my shepherd. He's not everybody's shepherd, but David says, the Lord's my shepherd. And because I have such a great shepherd, David says this, I shall not want. What do you need, David? I don't need anything. David, what do you want? I don't want anything. Have you ever met anybody that didn't want anything? Now, you can look at the word want, and you can have two little ideas there. You can have the word want as in there is a need. If somebody wants for something, their life is empty. They have a need for something. But also you can look at the want as a desire. I want a new bow and arrow for Christmas. I want a deer. I want a wife. I want a raise. David, what do you want? Nothing. You ever met anybody? You ever gone to Christmas and you're trying so hard to get that gift. So what do you want? And they sit there and they just, you ever got frustrated? Now you don't do that with kids. Right? Here comes the list out. You know why? They're never satisfied. That's just true, whether it's your kid or my kid. Amen. But, you know, every year, Joel and I will ask our parents what they want. And it's pulling teeth, and you never get anything. You never get anywhere. And in years gone by, we just give up. You know, we get socks or shoes or just don't know what to do. Why? Because what do you get for someone that has everything they want? You know what the wonderful thing about Jesus is? If you will let Him fill your life, He will be the great shepherd of your life, and you can say, I don't want. I've got all that I need. And if I had to sit and try to think of what, I just can't think of anything. I'm standing here this morning in that condition, hallelujah, that through the great shepherd of the sheep, I can't even think of something I want. He's filled my life. Why would I covet? What's out there? And yet we live in a world that's constantly wanting what they don't have. Why? Because the great shepherd has never filled their life. Only Jesus satisfies. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me. Praise God. God makes you. Amen. Do some things. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Sounds like pretty good peace there. Lying on the bed of your food. Leading you beside the still water. That's peace, isn't it? Restoring your soul. When you get down, when you need to fill up, restoring your soul. And leading you in the paths of righteousness. Leading you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's what the great shepherd's doing. You can tell a lot of people are not a part of the fold because the great shepherd's not leading them anywhere. There's a difference between a sheep and a goat. Amen. You know what? I studied sheep years and years ago. You know, sheep don't go around biting people. Sheep don't go around kicking people or butting people. Sheep, you know, sheep are not ferocious animals. They're very docile. They just sit there and chew their grass. Meh, you know. They don't fuss and fight. Now, they do have some problems. They're prone to go astray. And all we like sheep have gone astray. And we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sheep do go astray. Sheep get diseases from time to time. But they don't fight. And they don't hate the shepherd. And they know his voice. And he leads them in the paths of righteousness. You know why a lot of people don't want to go to heaven? I gave a track out the other day on the streets of Charleston. And it was a track, you may have seen it. It had the bridge over hell of the cross. And on one side, you know, is the city of God. And the cross is the bridge over the flames of the world, the city going down into hell. And a young man took that track and he looked at it. He says, is that hell? I said, yeah. He says, is that heaven? I said, yes, and it's the cross that makes the difference. He took that track and he tore off the part of hell. He gave the track back to him and he said, this is the part that I want. I want the hell part. You know why people don't want Jesus Christ? Because they don't want his righteousness. They want their sin. They wouldn't be happy in heaven if you put them there. Because heaven is a place of righteousness. Heaven is a place of holiness. I've told people, man, if you can't enjoy church, what makes you think you'll enjoy heaven? If you don't like the Word of God now, what makes you think you'd like it then? I mean, heaven is a righteous, wonderful place. But a lot of people, they don't want to be led in the paths of righteousness. They don't want a great shepherd to lead and guide and direct them. They don't want their soul to be restored. They don't want the table that he sets in the presence of the enemy. They don't want the oil to anoint their heads. They don't want his oil. They don't want their cup to run over with his goodness and his grace and his righteousness and his blessing. No, they want to fill their own cup. And so they have no peace. They have no salvation. They have no shepherd. And when they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they do fear evil. Because the shepherd is not with them. And his rod and his staff is not there to comfort them because they didn't want him. They didn't need, they didn't come to him. They didn't acknowledge that, yes, great shepherd, I need you to be the shepherd of my soul. I need you to be the shepherd and bishop of my soul. I need you to be my pastor. Thank God you have had a pastor and you have a pastor. But oh, would to God that every human being would come to Jesus Christ and say, would you be my shepherd? Would you be my pastor? Would you be my provider? That's the need of our heart. The great shepherd of the sheep. And that Psalm 23 ends, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. What? Go back to Hebrews 13, I'm about finished. Forever. Verse 20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the what? That's a permanent thing, brother. That is a continual, never-ending relationship. That not only through God I have peace, and not only through God I have the power over sin and death and hell, and not only through God do I have a provider or a pastor or a great shepherd, but through the Lord I have an everlasting relationship. I have something permanent. I have something that is forever. Forever. Jesus said in the book of John, he said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath, not will have, but hath right now in their hand, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation. But it's passed from death unto life. What the great shepherd of the sheep offers to the whole world is an everlasting covenant. Not a covenant like the children of Israel had in the wilderness. Not an old covenant, but a new covenant. An everlasting covenant that has better promises. That has a better hope. That's not just dealing with the outside, but is dealing with the inside. And my heart and my mind, as he says in Hebrews chapter 8, it's an everlasting covenant that goes on the inside of me. And changes me and fixes my forever in God. And I don't know what's going to happen to America. I don't know what's going to happen to your home and family. I know the Bible says for all flesh is as grass. And all the glory of man is the flower of grass. And the grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. He said, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. In other words, God has something enduring. It didn't come through an election or a country or a retirement program or a healthy lifestyle. It came through an everlasting covenant of God that gave you something permanent inside. You know, anything that's temporary is not very valuable. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Moth, rust, corrupt. These breakthroughs, it's going to be, buy the newest car you want to in a few years. It's a piece of junk, especially the way they're making them now, right? Right? I mean, it looks pretty, but it's all plastic. It doesn't last. And even if you get blessed, it won't last long. And your life won't last long either. So instead of looking at the things that are temporal or temporary, God help me to look to a great shepherd of the sheep that has an everlasting covenant. Something I can, as we sung this morning, anchor my soul into. That's sure and steadfast and permanent. God has something permanent for people if they'll come to the shepherd. Do you know him? Do you have peace? Do you have power? Can you say, I have a great shepherd and I shall not want? Amen. Can you say, I know where I will be forever and ever because the blood of that everlasting covenant has sealed the destiny of my soul for time and eternity? You have something permanent in God. He's here this morning and he says, come unto me. Find all you need. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Father, I do not know the needs in this room this morning.